The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 455. I hope all is well with you out there. Thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast, and I hope that you had a very awesome Thanksgiving. I had a pretty good one. It wasn't anything super eventful. It was very low-key. I just stuck around town. Didn't do any traveling or anything, but, you know, for me, that's what I wanted to do this year. You know, I didn't want to be stressed out with trying to commute somewhere or arrange schedules. I just had a very easygoing Thanksgiving with some friends, and like I said, hopefully yours was good as well. But I'm not going to lie to you, I did work a little bit on the PVD Cast so I could drop this episode today, and it's a very special episode. It's a double feature, if you will. That's right. You're not going to get just one conversation with one talented individual. You're going to get two talented individuals talking about their passions, their projects, and whatnot. Now, these are both conversations that I had in August and September when I was doing the live streams for the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, or C3, as the kids call it. The two individuals that I'm talking to are a talented creator named Fennec, and another talented creator by the name of Tony Ferrando. They both contributed to the anthology that C3 put out just a few months ago. And so at the time, we were talking about their submissions. We'll also talk about some of the projects that they have going on and get some of their thoughts on Columbus and being a creator in Columbus and whatnot. So before I get to those two conversations, I do need to thank somebody real quick, which I do every single episode. And that is, of course, I want to thank World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters. They got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. In fact, I'm so bold that I'm going to say that if you are missing a few key issues of your favorite comic, I would say there's a 99% chance that Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest can help you fill those holes. So you owe it to yourself to stop by the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're very active on their Facebook page, so check them out there. And you can find them at WG Comics. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my two conversations with Fennec and Tony Ferrando. Hey, everybody. How are you doing out there? Some of you folks who joined me earlier this morning are probably going, man, he's like an Iron Man, going back to back with conversations about the Columbus Cartoon Coalition and the great C stands for anthology. But yeah, I'm going back to back. All those things are true, and that's okay because I prefer it like that. There we go. I can handle doing back to backs. Anyways, it's been one of those mornings, folks. So with that, let's not waste any time. And the individual that is going to be joining me, they have a real unique tale because I checked it out because I wanted to, I found out something and I had to research it. So without any further ado, please welcome Fennec. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing well today. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We've had a few snafus this morning, but it's okay. You know, it's what happens.
You get
sometimes
through it.
That's right. That's right. Everybody has hurdles they gotta jump over, and Just that I'm jumping over a lot of hurdles today. So,
but then you get through and we get through the day.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's start off with talking about how you became involved with C3.
Yeah, there's actually an artist who was a member of it. His name is Hunter, and he actually introduced me to the whole group. Like, I was in San Francisco for a few years getting my master's, and we actually went through the same program. He was like in his final year when I started my first year, and I came back to Columbus. I asked him, like, hey, is there anything in the community I can get involved in? He recommended C3 immediately, and I really fell in love with just the vibe of everyone and the whole group and just, like, how passionate everyone is about comics.
So you said that you came back to Ohio. So you're originally from Ohio? From Columbus or somewhere else in Ohio?
Pretty much, like, a little bit outside. I'm in Pickerington, so, like, I'm, like, 20 minutes away from Columbus.
Okay.
But yeah, like, this is where I grew up. Like, I moved here. Like, I was born in Arizona, but I moved here when I was 7, and then I was here in Pickerington ever since.
Okay. All right. How was the experience being out in San Francisco? Because, I mean, totally different. We've used the term vibe quite frequently here several times today. But what was the vibe like, you know, training and learning your craft in San Francisco?
It was really wonderful. Like, they have a really good program where you're kind of individual. Like, it's all online, so you're kind of, like, self-guided, but that gives you kind of time to, like, grow on your own, and, like, you get to, like, talk with, like, a whole community of other people around you. So it's pretty, it's kind of similar to here, but I think, like, here it's everyone's a lot more hands-on in a way. And, like, in San Francisco it's kind of laid back, and then here it's, like, I don't know, like, everyone feels like it's different kinds of passion almost.
Okay. So passion to do the to help out and to guide others versus maybe San Francisco is a little more independent, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your contribution to the anthology C stands for. I can't wait to learn here, because when I saw what it was, I'm like, what the heck is this? And so I learned quite a bit today. So go ahead. Tell us a little bit about C stands for. Is it pronounced Cavies?
Cavies, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about Cavies, because I'm fascinated by this.
So Cavies is kind of it's another term for guinea pig, which is a pretty common pet, I think. But I feel a lot of people misunderstand guinea pigs and what they need, what their care is. And, like, they're kind of the seat of the disposable pet, like a starter pet. But they have been, like, the complete opposite for me, where they are chaotic. They have their own personalities. Like, they are, like, the most chaotic little potatoes you could ever meet. And I adore, like, having guinea pigs. I got them back in 2019, actually. I originally had Claude and Dimitri. Claude, unfortunately, he makes a little bit of a debut in C is for Cavies, but he passed away last year. But I just wanted to add him because he was like the most mellow guinea pig to, like, ever exist, really. Like, he was just chill. Like, I would come over and just rub his head, and he was like, heck yeah, like, this is awesome. And then Dimitri is his brother, who is still around, fortunately. I don't even know nowadays. Like, he used to be the very chaotic one, but now he's kind of become my snuggle buddy. Like, he's old. Like, he's about 7 years old. They're, like, all my guinea pigs have been adopted, so it's kind of rough to estimate the ages, but he's, like, older now, and he's, like, settled back. Like, back when he was with Claude, he was the one that would cause trouble. He was the one that would always scream. And then now I have Reno, and, excuse me, I have Reno now, and he's what's known as an Abyssinian guinea pig. And if anyone knows anything about guinea pigs, Abyssinians are, like, the orange cats of guinea pigs, where they just have no brain cells whatsoever. They are chaotic. He'll, like, get excited, like, tormenting his brother, and his brother will start crying, and he gets really happy and excited about it. And I have a page about popcorning, which is, like, something guinea pigs do when they're excited. And he does that, and, like, he'll fall into his water bowl, or he'll, like, slam into the side of his cage. It's like, chill out. But yeah, like, they're, like, so fun and chaotic. And I just wanted people to start to, like, know, like, what they're kind of about more, like, not just, like, you see them in the pet store and you're like, whatever, but they are amazing little creatures.
I gotta say, that is a wonderful description of them. In fact, I chuckled several times because I was like, yep, that probably sounds what they would be like. So how did you discover a place where you were going to go get one of these, where you're going to get these individuals, Dimitri and is it Reno, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So did you get them from a pet store? Did like, I know some other folks maybe breed them and then get, so what was how did you discover that you were going to become a Cavies mom, so to speak?
I actually had hedgehogs before that I raised in high school, and, like, yeah, just kind of everything at this point. But they ended up passing away, and I, like, kind of felt like a little void there, and I was like, you know, like, I need something. And I was, like, talking with my mom a little bit, like, what would be, like, a good pet for me at this point in time. And, like, she pointed me in the direction of Cavies, and I was like, hey, you know what? They seem like really great animals. I want to try. And like, there are actually some guinea pig rescues here around in Columbus. There was one, the one I adopted Claude and Dimitri from, unfortunately closed down, but that's where I got them. And like, they were approximately 2-ish years old when I adopted them back in 2019. And then after Claude passed away, like, they are very social animals. So after Claude passed away, I knew that Dimitri needed a new friend. Like, he was getting depressed. He wasn't eating. Like, I tried to cling to him, but the interaction between a human and a guinea pig is very different from two guinea pigs. Like, I think in somewhere in Scandinavia, there's a law where you can't only own one guinea pig because they are they're such social creatures. They need a partner. Yeah. I almost wrote about it in my anthology, but I just didn't have the time for it. But yeah, I actually got Reno from the ASPCA in San Francisco there. And I went on a Friday and they actually had little cages all set up for the different guinea pigs to have a little bit of floor time. So they were outside of their cages, had a little bit of recreational time, got to smell each other without interacting really, but it was really neat. Okay. Switzerland. Yes, that is the one.
Switzerland. Okay. Does not allow you to have just one guinea pig. You gotta have two. Hedgehogs. Yep. So
yeah.
Okay, how do you take care of a hedgehog?
They actually eat dry cat food. They're carnivorous, so they need high protein diets. They need a wheel like a hamster does. Like, they're very active, especially at night. I kept them in pretty big cages because they love to run around and all that. And I actually give them a litter box so they can be litter trained.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, I told you I was going to learn a lot today with zoological discussion that we're having here, but
if you ever need to know anything about small animals, I got you.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get back talking a little bit about C stands for.
Absolutely.
I've asked many of the creators, why did you decide to participate in the C stands for?
Yeah. Coming back to Columbus, I really wanted to get involved in the community somehow. And I have, but I think I wanted to get involved more and just start creating something. And I think with guinea pigs, especially where I see kind of people talk about them here and anywhere, I wanted to kind of spread the word too with C3. I think that would be a really, they've been a really wonderful source here. I think that they're a pretty good platform to kind of share a little bit more about guinea pigs as well. And then I just wanted to help out how I could, and they have helped me in a lot of ways. So I wanted to kind of give back.
Okay. You know what? That's fantastic. And I'm sure you agree with me that, this crowdfunder campaign is awesome and you should donate because
absolutely
it's helping out talented people. And I've talked to many of them over the last few weeks. And in fact, while we're talking about that, right down below in the crawl is the link for the crowdfunder campaign. And we have only a couple more days left, but we are and I know our producer Sydney can give me those numbers. We are at $950. That was the tier that we're at, where everyone was getting $10 for their page rate. We want to get up to $1,550, because if we could do that, then everybody's going to get a page rate of $15. And you know what? As I just said it on the last live stream, if we get to $1,550, there is no reason why we can't get over that hurdle, right? We can easily get over $1,550 and get everybody $20 page rate. It's a great opportunity if you are someone that is saying, I've always wanted to be involved in comics, but maybe you're feeling self-conscious about your art or whatnot. Yeah, this is a great way to help out. And Sydney just mentioned $988 raised so far. All of that money going back to the talented artists like Fennec, like Raw, like Kelsey, Jeremy, Katie, all the folks that have sat down and chatted with me. It's all going back to them. So do it. It's a good thing. It'll give you good karma.
Not just a good thing, you also get amazing art out of it. You get to see what Columbus can bring to the table.
That's right. That's right. So, all right. Well, let's talk, Fennec, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
When did you discover that you had a passion for art and comics?
Really, it was kind of at a young age. I really always loved, I remember in first grade, I would draw these little books about Scooby-Doo and bring them to school and read them to my class. I would tie the inside, fold everything in half and bring them to school and read that. I don't think it was until college that I found out that I had a real passion and interest in creating comics. I had a professor at Wittenberg University, Dr. Kate Pollock, who she also studied comics, and we had a unit in my first like English class that I took at Wittenberg that was on comics, which I found super interesting because it was we studied short stories and poetry alongside that. And then we had comics, and that was a very big surprise to me as like being seen like an academic setting. I fell in love really quickly with that kind of concept as I was like kind of doing my own research in a lot of like manga when I was in high school and fell in love with manga. And then later I did a creative writing class also under her, and she, like, I remember I actually wrote about like, it was like a cat. I did like a little comic about like a girl finding a cat and like wanting to keep the cat. And we got to like my day, we had like, we all had like kind of days and times to talk about our stories. And we got to mine and like, people weren't really talking about my story itself. They were all talking about their interactions with having pets and like how much they loved having different kinds of pets and how they discovered having their pets. And I was kind of sitting there like, what about my comic? Are we going to talk about my comic at all? And then like, she like stops and she goes like, I think that you like, everyone really enjoyed your comic and they're able to relate to it in a lot of ways. And I think that really sparked my interest in wanting to create comics later. And that led me to go to California College of the Arts and pursue my master's there.
Can you describe your art style?
Yeah, I kind of think it's like a kind of mix. I've been heavily inspired by manga. Like I started reading it in, well, Pokemon, I was into that since I was really, really young. But then I got into Naruto, Tokyo Ghoul, Bungo Stray Dogs, a lot of different manga over the years. And I became like very interested in especially shonen manga. So I think it's like a mix between shonen manga as well as like cute animals. Like I did my thesis on like a girl who has a fox and a hedgehog. And I just enjoy mixing those two things, or like having just really fluffy and creative like little animals and like having a very kind of exaggerated manga style.
Okay. What inspires you to create your art? So you mentioned manga, obviously, but is there maybe some creators or authors, artists, inkers that really, really have inspired you to pursue comics?
I actually want to give like a really big shout out to my friend B. I've been friends with them since I was in second grade, and I remember like in junior high, like they started drawing a lot, and like that really like pushed me to want to do a lot of art myself. And we still draw to this day. Like we'll go like, we have like what's called side quest Sundays, and we'll go to like libraries or coffee shops and all that, and we'll draw for a while. And like just having them as like my kind of partner almost with like creating art has been wonderful and like very inspiring to me. Outside of that, I'm definitely a lot of like mangaka. I've been really interested in Jujutsu Kaisen and like Gege Akutami style, especially. Oh, and Katsuki Fujimoto of like Chainsaw Man, like his stuff has been very influential on me, especially like Goodbye Airy recently. Like a lot of his stuff has been very influential. And like Calvin and Hobbes, actually, like that was like one of the first comics I ever got. I got it for my grandma, and like that made me fall in love with just like, I don't know, like the like childlike nature of it with like the kind of also like existentialism and like kind of adult themes that you don't really see when you're a kid. I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I definitely can agree with you on that. You know, Calvin and Hobbes, it was something special. Like, you know, as you read those, and you know, I'm probably a few years older than you, because I was gonna say I would read those in high school, and there was just something about them that clicked, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pretty awesome individual to be inspired by. So we've talked a little bit about manga. What are some of the other genres that you enjoy? Whether I'm talking about enjoying them, rather to read them or to interact with them or to actually work in that genre.
Yeah. I went to my undergrad in like classical, or not classical, but like English. And so like a lot of classical literature actually inspires me. So like that's like kind of very like veering off, but like there also been like more shoujo styles of manga that have been made about classics that I've really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I read Paper Girls recently. I fell in love with it. So I've been really interested in like, I've been getting more into Western comics recently, or not recently, but over time, like I've been kind of expanding outwards towards that. Like manga was always the easiest for me to access when I was younger. I'm trying to think, like, I'm like in the headspace now where I'm like, I've never read a comic ever, actually. I don't know what you're talking about. manga's definitely the biggest thing. Do I have anything around in my room? Short stories. I was actually really inspired by, oh, what's it called? The Things They Carried. I'm blanking on the name of the writer now, but just like in like incorporating like there's like real truth and story truth. I really like that kind of stuck with me when I started creating, like having like he writes about his time in, I want to say, Vietnam, and he actually writes stories. And like there's one where he talks about like how like he raised like his daughter, and how he's scared like his daughter's one day gonna find out about what he did. And then he like goes into the next chapter, he's like, I don't have a daughter. I made that up. And
really?
Yeah. Like he like he writes a lot about like that kind of stuff in war. And he's like, I don't want to tell you which stories are real and which ones are fake. I want there to be like a kind of, there's like a certain truth to these stories that I'm telling. And I thought that was just really fascinating when I was reading through what he was saying.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a big, that's an M. Night Shyamalan like twist, if you will, on that.
Right?
Yeah, that's fascinating. Who could you, what was the book again?
The Things They Carried.
The Things They Carry. I'll have to check that out because I will plead ignorance. I had never heard of it till you mentioned it.
It was actually one of the stories I read in Dr. Pollock's class when I was in that English class after we got through comics.
Wow. That is...
Tim O'Brien is the name of the author.
Okay. I'm actually writing it down on my note sheet because that sounds incredibly fascinating. You know, because I enjoy those type of tales that are a little bit more, they're not cut and dry. They're not, you get from point A to point B. So that sounds fascinating. Awesome.
Yeah, that'd be really, like right up your alley, it sounds like. He is very much like, he'll go like through like different like areas and he'll be like, this was real and this one wasn't. But then he's like, you don't know if this is all real. Like this could all be made up. And like, I may have never even gone to war. Like he did, but like, just like reading through it, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. That's again, I'm going to check that out because, you know, I not only do I find those type of tales interesting, but also learning a little bit about the gray areas of a military campaign.
Yeah.
And I'll say it that way to be a little bit kinder, that I find absolutely that fascinating, you know, so
100%.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some advice. All right. So you've been doing this for a number of years now. You've probably learned a lot. What was the best piece of advice you received? And also, what would be the best piece of advice you would give to someone?
I think, honestly, one of the best pieces of advice I've heard is just to, like, turn off your brain for a bit when you're drawing. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in wanting to create to create something perfect that you get paralyzed and you don't want to create at all. And because you're scared that you're not going to reach that level of perfection you have in your brain, that you're like analyzing when you're not in an analytical stage. It's like playing basketball where like you can like theorize how to play basketball, but like the only way to get out and like learn how to play basketball is to play basketball. And it's really the same with art. Like it's so easy to kind of think like while you're drawing, like, oh, I can like make this perfect, but no, like you need to practice and you need to just work with it. Like go outside your comfort zone and know that not everything needs to be like posted. Not everything needs to be shown off. Not everything needs to be perfect. Just you need to, but it's important to create, to make something more than you had yesterday, and just to keep moving forward with creating. Cause like, I feel like even though like there are like so many different, like there's so many different purposes for so many different things, but art is the reason that like, the world continues to go around. Like this is what people live for, comics and any other creative endeavors.
You know what? That's the same thing that I say when people ask me about podcasting. How do you do that? You just do it. Just own that it's going to probably be lousy, that you're going to be, you cringe, it's going to be whatever, but just accept that and move on and learn from it and go. And that's, you know, to me that's, I echo that same sentiment to anybody, even though different genres of media, but still you got to go out there and do it.
I am cringe, but I am free.
Nope. Okay. That's a good slogan to have.
You just got to embrace it though. You just got to have fun with like, just make the thing that you wanted to make when you're like 8 years old, like do the weird thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. That's the, you know, the solid advice. Well, let's run down one more time here before I ask a couple of other quick closing questions, but let's run down the crowdfunder one more time. For those folks that have not donated yet, please do. Again, we are at $988 so far. We've reached the level where every creator is going to get $10 for their page rate. We want to, in the next couple of days, we want to get to that 1,550 mark. That will give everybody $15 page rate. And then anything, look, even if it's $1, if we get 1,551, guess what? We're still getting that $20 page rate out to everybody and all the creators. And look, as I said before, the money goes back to the talented folks who need it. I mean, there are so many costs. There's tabling fees. There's supplies that you got to buy. There's workshops you're going to attend. There's all those things. But sadly, they require some cash. That's how the world works. Sorry, folks. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. So jump on over. It's scrolling right down below here. tinyurl.com/ C stands for. Donate if you can. And for those folks that have donated, tip of the hat. Thank you very much for doing so. I think I could speak for all the guests that I've chatted with on these live streams and say thank you. It means a lot. It helps to grow this community. And as I'm going to ask here, one of the final questions here, Fennec, speaking of growing the community, why do you think Ohio is a great place for independent creators?
It's kind of like the saying, like with Ohio, like it's kind of the heart of it all. Like this is where a lot of people kind of like look through and like pass through. And I think, and like in a way, like it's kind of become like that kind of big meme. So I kind of want to show like, maybe we are a little cringe, but also like we have amazing stuff going on, you know, like everyone, like I was a substitute teacher for a couple months back. And like, they would always say like, Ohio is like, they'd be like, well, that's so Ohio and all that as like a kind of like, that's cringe. And it's like, maybe we're cringe, but we make amazing stuff too. So what about it?
There you go. There you go. So many talented folks creating so many cool things. In fact, let's talk about maybe some future projects for you, Fennec. What do you have on tap that maybe I overlooked, maybe I didn't cover it thoroughly enough, but let the folks know what's on tap for you.
Yeah, I really want to try continuing to expand into fantasy. Like that was what I did my thesis on when I was in grad school. I want to keep kind of pushing for a little bit more fantasy there. My current project is an independent, or like it's I want it to be a one-off because every other idea I have in my head is like something really, really long that I'm going to need some time for. But I'm currently working on, it's a girl who ends up like an elf lady. She gets amnesia. She wakes up with the ability to see ghosts and she partners up with a different ghost and they decide to go find out about their past. And she also kills like some peoples to avenge some spirits so they can move on to the afterlife.
Okay. What's the title of the project? Do you have a working title for it?
Currently, I'm calling it Reaper.
Okay. All right. How long have you been working on this project, real quick, if I may ask?
Yeah, I've kind of been going like on and off for about the past year. I've been taking a little bit of a break recently from that just so I can come back to it with a fresh set of eyes. But I'm hoping to get back into it soon, especially after working on C's for KVs. And I love my guinea pigs, but I could use a little bit of a break from them.
Well, you know, hey. They're mischievous like other people, you know? Everybody's absolutely a little mischievous, you know? If you had to give an elevator pitch to somebody about C stands for and why they should pick it up, what would you say to them?
I'd say, this is where you'll find all the talented artists in Columbus all working together to create something amazing. You'll find a lot of different works from fantasy to realistic fiction to stuff about their pets, and you will find something you like in there.
Okay, there you go. Plenty of genres to choose from. All right, Fennec, where can folks find you on the internet if they want to follow what you're doing and keep tabs on you, so to speak?
Yeah, so I'm not super active on anything at the moment, but you can find me at Pinstray Arrow on Tumblr and Instagram. Yeah, that's kind of the biggest place you can find me. I'm trying to get a little bit more into doing stuff, but social media is scary sometimes.
That is true. That is sadly true. Unfortunately, it's a necessary evil, isn't it?
Indeed. Yep.
I mean, if you don't do it, then you're not going to have folks know about the cool stuff you got going on. Yep. But if you do it, then you have to deal with jerks sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And it's just so easy to get absorbed into it. Like, that's where I find myself. And I'm like, I need to sit back. I just scroll and I'm doom scrolling and it's not good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Fennec, anything else you want to touch base on real quick? Any other message you might have for the viewers out there?
Always try to adopt, don't shop, especially with guinea pigs. You will find lots of people who have surrendered them, and they are amazing little animals. You always want to give them at least 8 square feet of cage space, if not more, especially for males. Yeah, I think that's about it for me.
All right. Number one, thank you for the education today, because I'm being dead serious. Like, when I read about KVs, I'm like, wait, those are guinea pigs? And wait a minute, what the heck? So I really do appreciate the knowledge that you gave me today about KVs and about hedgehogs and all the cool animals that you seem to know a lot about.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
You're quite welcome. We really appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Goodbye, everybody. I'm going to interrupt these conversations for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, you name it, they got it. So you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or check out their website, wgcomics.com. And they're even active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another live stream to talk about C Stands For, which of course is the great anthology that is being produced by the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. I'm your host once again, John Orlando, and thank you for joining me here a little bit later than we anticipated. There were some wires that got crossed or whatnot, but we're here. That's the important thing. We are here and ready to talk about this great project. And joining me is a gentleman who has added his expertise and his artistic ability to this great anthology, talking about Tony Ferrando. And let's bring Tony on up. Tony, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. You know, we can complain a little bit, but no one's going to care. So there's no point in doing it, right?
Right.
Well, let's start off with the question I've asked every creator. How did you get involved with C3, the Columbus Cartoon Coalition?
Well, I knew that they had a presence at CXC. I think I saw them there last year, maybe probably the year before as well, which is the great convention here in Columbus at the end of September, or maybe it trickles into the beginning of October sometimes. So I saw that they had a table there, and that kind of got that planted in my head. But really, when I started seeing their posts and things on Instagram, and they kind of had this like welcoming kind of vibe. I don't know if I'm too old to say vibe. I feel like
no.
That's a young person word. But yeah, I don't know. They seem very open and friendly. And so I started to just try to weasel my way in and participate in some things. And I'm really glad that they are here.
Yeah. And we talk about CXC. It's right here. It is this September 26th through the 29th. And Tony, just getting off track a little bit here, what does CXC mean to you?
And CXC is like, I think is one of the coolest things. I go every year. I take off Thursday and Friday from my job so I can like go to the panels that they have. To me, it's like a celebration of comics in a way, mm-hmm. especially more independent kind of comics, right? And local comics and things like that around Columbus. I don't know. It's a really cool thing. Like it's free. So I don't know why anybody doesn't go.
That's a good point. Very good point. It is free.
Right. I mean, it's crazy that it's free, honestly. Like, if you told me it was like, I don't know, $100 for the weekend or something, or $50 a day, I'd be like, yeah, that's fair.
mm-hmm.
No, it's awesome.
And it's a great mix of, like, as you said, everything. It's a great mix of local independent creators to the very, very world, let's say, world famous individuals
right, yeah.
come here. I mean, the spectrum of guests is large. And I guarantee that if you went down there, you'd find something that you're interested in. Absolutely. Yeah. No matter what the genre is or whatever the topic is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited to go this year. Kind of counting down the days already.
Yeah. Everybody that works behind the scenes and all the corporate sponsors and everything, tip of the hat to you. Thank you very much for bringing Absolutely. This to Columbus. But let's get back to C3. I'd like to talk a little bit about your contribution to the C Stands For anthology. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I did a story. I called it Courage. C is for Courage, essentially. It's about a little girl's cat that's about to die. I mean, but I think I tried to just come up with a story that I could just draw different fun things, honestly. And I feel like the story has a sort of basis on Calvin and Hobbes. And I don't think I knew that at first, but it has a kind of a Calvin and Hobbes inspiration. But yeah, I think it's just really about the cat dying, the cat named mm-hmm. Courage, but just the little girl having memories of spending time with her cat through her eyes, through her imagination.
That made me a little bit verklempt, because being a cat dad, you know, yeah. kind of like I can understand. I can feel where that would be. That might hit hard for some folks.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I, we recently had a cat that passed away.
Oh, okay.
I'm also sure that informed my brain when making the story.
Okay. Let me ask, why did you decide to participate? Like, I mean, I know that Sydney and the folks at C3 put out the call some time ago. Why did you say, yeah, you know what? I need to be involved in this.
You know, there was an opportunity, right? Sydney and everybody, they make it so easy for us to participate. I just wanted to. I don't know, you know, just okay. It was there and I just thought I should try.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to pull up here real quick. This is the Discord link. For folks that are watching, if you want to join up with C3, here it is. Here's a great way to do that. All right. You have no excuse. And I know some people might say, well, I'm not, you know, I'm a rookie when it comes to making comics, or I'm a veteran. It doesn't matter. They don't care. All skill levels, all backgrounds, all genres are welcome at C3. And so if you're interested, here is the Discord. Jot it down. Join up. As Tony said, it's got a real good vibe to it. All right, so let's first of all run down the crowdfunder campaign real quick, Tony, and then we'll talk a little bit about you and some of your projects, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, so the crowdfunder, as of right now, I haven't gotten a new total, but as of just the other day, all right, we were at that $950 mark. So every creator is going to get a $10 page rate, all right, which I know some of you that might be tuning in first time ever, you might say, what is that? Where's the tiers? Where's the stickers? Where's the digital copies? Well, that's for Kickstarter, and that's a different type of crowdfunding. We are here on Crowdfunder, and we thought that we'd do something a little bit different. So the page count is what we are looking for. Page rate. So we are pushing to try to get to the next level, which is $1,550. And if we reach that, then every creator is going to get $15 page rate. Anything over that $1,550, everybody gets $20. And again, this is a great opportunity if you've ever wanted to be involved in the indie comic scene or in the comic scene, period. Here's a chance to help out these talented folks like Tony, like Jeremy, like Raw, like Carl, like Kelsey, like all the fine folks that have spent some time with me over the last few weeks. You can help them out because all the money's going back. All right. There's no silliness. There's no shenanigans. The money that comes in is going right back out to the creators, because Tony, I'm sure you can say to everybody that's watching this that it takes a little bit of cash to get going when you're doing indie comics.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly takes time as well.
Yeah, it does. Right. Those are probably the two biggest, you know, I guess negatives, if you want to call it that, and I use air quotes,
right,
is time and money. And so here's an opportunity, folks. So you don't have a lot of time remaining, because the crowdfunder campaign for the anthology, C stands for, it closes on Monday, the 26th. In fact, later that night around, if I'm not mistaken, it's 7 o'clock. I'll have to double check that. But somewhere around the late evening hours, there's going to be a little wrap party where everybody's going to come back and hang out and marvel at what we are going to do, which is raise $1,550, folks. No, my bad.
Sounds good.
We need to get over that hump. So yeah. It's got to be 1,551. There you go. Whatever. We'd love to see it get to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, but that's us being selfish, right, Tony?
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah.
There you go. So if you need any information, it's right down here. It's scrolling tinyurl.com/C stands for. You can check it out. And again, please, please donate if you can, because everybody will greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone who has already.
Yes. Absolutely. I forgot that. But yeah, there's been plenty of people who have donated, and thanks to them as well. All right, Tony, let's talk a little bit about you and some of your projects. I like to start with this question for everybody, just out of curiosity. When did you know that art was going to be a passion for you?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't know if it was, you know, when I was 3 years old and watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and drawing the turtles every day, you know, or I don't know if it was after watching the X-Men and Spider-Man animated series, you know, and drawing my best Wolverine or Spider-Man, or, you know, discovering that actually comic books are a thing and they're cool, and trying to redraw the figures I saw by my favorite artists at the time. You know, I don't really know exactly, but I've always loved drawing for sure, you know, and comics as well. And they just go together.
Okay.
And I think, I think really just from a young age, when I realized that a crayon can make lines on paper, that I really like doing it.
Who was your favorite turtle?
I bet when I was a kid, I think I liked Leo. Okay. Now I like, I think I like, well, I feel like I like Raph, or Mikey, probably Raph.
When as a kid, did you have the action figures?
Oh yeah. Like I can remember, you know, like the shell opened up, right? And you could like put their weapons inside and stuff. That was pretty cool.
What were your thoughts on some of the spinoffs? Because, you know, they, as that toy line grew and grew, they started getting it to, like, I know they had like a sports theme where, like, you know, Leonardo was a basketball player or something like that. You know what I mean? What was your thoughts on those?
It's kind of weird, but I think it's funny, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Cool in a way. Like one time pretty recently, actually, when I was at Big Fun, cool, you know, action figure store around here, or toy store, I guess. I think I bought a Batman, like, I don't know what to know, like Arctic Explorer Batman. And I was like, that's not a thing. So I better buy it. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Why would Batman be in the Arctic?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I don't know. I think figures like that are kind of funny in a way, but also they don't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm a big G.I. Joe dude, and I always ranted and raved about Chuckles. Was the undercover agent. I'm like, he's undercover. He looks like he's Magnum P.I. So where is he going to go? Where is he going to blend in?
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's talk about one of your projects that I really want to get into, because I'm fascinated by this, Tony.
Okay.
Let's talk about Everyone Hates Raymond.
Sure.
Okay. Why pick on little Ray Romano, man? Why?
I wanted to create something I could do. I just started this basically, but I wanted to create something where I could do it weekly, right? And I wanted to create something that people are hopefully are familiar with, but again, I'm old, so I don't know. Maybe some people younger than me don't know what Everybody Loves Raymond is. But you know, I wanted to use something familiar so some people could understand maybe the jokes or like what I'm talking about in a way. But also, since I did that, I take away like me having to figure out characters, right? Like I don't need to create characters now. I can just, I already know these characters. I can just draw them real quick, right? So I'm trying to create something where I can just make something without, I guess, too much thought in a way.
Okay.
So I can make something. That's all.
No, that makes perfect sense. The templates are already there for Ray and then Brad Garrett's character and whatnot. I've seen a handful of episodes. I'm not like pro Ray Romano or anti Ray Romano. It wasn't my cup of tea, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I like watching it, but am I like a mega fan? I don't think so. I like it, but in a way it was really just like something that I'm familiar with. Like I think a lot of people are, and there you go. There's the characters. You already get it. And I think there are stereotypes for those characters, or at least in the episodes, there are jokes about them. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, for example, I draw Ray with a huge nose, right? Cause they make fun of his nose, and you know, Brad Garrett's tall, so I make him really tall, right? You know what I mean? And there's just easy jokes there that you can find, I think. So it's just really, in a way, something that I can just practice with and have fun with.
Okay. Well, two follow-ups to this line of questioning. First of all, may I throw out an idea for Everyone Hates Raymond? I would love to be some type of mix, because as a kid growing up watching Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon, Brad Garrett was the voice of Hulk Hogan. So,
gotcha.
If you can work that into something, there you go.
I could do that. I've been thinking about, you know, having some guest stars.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, I got to say the other thing too, is I don't want to sound like I'm an elitist, but I will say this: Ray Romano's drama that I think TBS aired it, or maybe it was TNT, called Men of a Certain Age, was really, really good.
Yeah. I didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about. I remember, you know, like the commercials or whatever. Yeah. I mean, he looked like he knew what he was doing for sure. That's surprising sometimes, you know, comedic actors, you know, and they have some dramatic chops.
Yeah. I was very much, because I was hooked because Andre Brower was in it. I love Andre Brower.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm watching this. And I was blown away by Ray Romano, because you're right. He still is a little bit of the comedy, you know, mixed into it. But, you know, his character was a gambling addict. So it was like, oh, wow. Okay. He does have that range to it.
Right.
So, So don't send me hate mail about, oh, you don't like Greg Ramone. Just leave it, all
right? Right.
So also going through and checking out some of your stuff, I saw that you have a lot of X-Men, a lot of Wolverine right now. So what were your thoughts on Deadpool and Wolverine?
You know, I did like it. I thought that, honestly, like Wolverine, the character in the movie, like, I think they needed to work on it a little more. I don't know. I just feel like he was just grumpy for 90% of it. but that's my favorite character ever, Wolverine.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know. I think just kid me, when I saw him on that cartoon, I was just like, wow, that guy's cool.
Okay.
But then when you get beyond just the, oh, he looks cool with claws, you know? And then you start to read the backstory and this, you know, like he's essentially an immortal, right? That experiences loss after loss after loss, you know, falls in love. Then that person is inevitably killed or died or whatever. And just over and over, it's like, this guy's lived a tragic life and he just keeps going.
I think my only gripe about the movie, I think everybody points out, well, the plot was really thin. Yeah, you're not there for the plot, folks. Let's just be honest, okay? You're not there for the plot. I was a little bit taken aback by Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
I feel like his gambit was too big. Like,
yeah.
He looked like, to use another effort, he looked like Hulk Hogan. Like, he was that big.
He was blocky.
Yeah. And I was like, I always pictured, you know, more quick, more dexterity, et cetera, et cetera.
You are right.
So, but overall, I liked it as well. So.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Well, in October, you participated in Inktober, and I'm just going to go out on a limb. Do you like Halloween?
Well, I don't know, a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I may be already like, you know, wait until September so we can put up our Halloween decorations, you know, and checking the weather throughout September, waiting for actual fall weather like we just had a few days ago, and it's not coming.
No, we're going back to summertime.
It's 80s, and yeah, throughout September, I think every day in the 80s. So,
well, let me ask, why do you enjoy Halloween? And it seems like you enjoy a lot of horror movies and whatnot. So, what is it about that genre that just draws you in?
I think it just creates a nostalgia from when I was a kid. You know, like when we were kids and we could trick or treat, I think that was like something we would look forward to, right? And it seemed like a really just a cool night. And then when you kind of grow out of that, you can't do it anymore, and it doesn't feel as magical. I don't know. But then when we get older, and then we can kind of remember that and look back, and then I don't know. I think that's just what it is. I just remember these moments when I was trick-or-treating as a kid, and I was special for some reason. I don't know if it seemed creepy to me or whatnot, but yeah, I think that's what it is.
Do you remember a favorite Halloween costume?
Well, I was definitely a turtle.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't remember which one, though.
I think Leo.
One time I was... I can't even remember. Oh, I was Dracula. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Okay.
My mom was like big on, we had to like make our own costumes. So I had to be creative.
Yeah. You know what? Same here. That's why, I did one year. I wanted to be a character from the show Mask, you know, like the mobile armored strike command, those vehicles and that. So I made my own helmet, which was, as I look back on, I'm like, What were you thinking, man? That looks like garbage. What are you doing? I know 8-year-old me was not very skilled at, you know, making props, I guess. So right then was going to be, that maybe was the evening where fate says, John, cosplay is not your thing. Tony, I know you probably talked a little bit about what inspires you. You mentioned that with your project, and we're going to go back and talk about the project for the C3 anthology, but who are some of your favorite creators, artists, authors, et cetera, who inspire you?
So I really like Jeff Lemire. And Matt Kent as well. I mean, I think all the people that inspire me have a certain kind of style, like maybe more, I don't like this word, but I'm going to say it, cartoony style. like more emphasis on line work and things like that. And they use watercolor usually. And also they're good writers. So yeah, Matt Kent and Jeff Lemire are both huge for me. Also like Morgan Beam is a great artist. I'm forgetting some already. That's terrible of me. Nate Powell. I mean, you can meet Nate Powell at CXC every year. He's the nicest guy in the world and he's awesome. Yeah, just people like that though, like great writers, great artists. That's what I wish I was.
Well, you know what? Can I go back to one of the names? Morgan Beam? I'm not sure that I'm familiar with that individual.
Yeah, she is she hasn't written anything yet, but she has a really unique style. She's drawn some great books. I would just check her out on Instagram if you're able to. Her art is instantly recognizable, which I think is a great trait to have as an artist, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's pretty awesome. And she's really nice as well. You know, the scanner I have right beside me here that I use to scan my art into my computer is the one that she recommended to me. So in case she's watching this, thank you.
There you go. All right, let's go back here and talk a little bit more about C3. Tony, I'm going to put you in the hot seat for a moment.
Okay.
Why should someone pick up a copy of this anthology C stands for?
Well, you know, you can get a little sampling of local artists and stories, which, you know, if you're at Columbus Cross, I always mix up the name.
I do too.
I'm going to say CXC.
There you go.
That's CXC, you know. That's the reason you're there is to sample local indie artists, I think. So there you go. There's a little sampling platter right there for you. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, no, makes perfect sense. Absolutely. So why is Ohio a great place for creators?
Ohio, it is historically a huge, like, comics state, right? Like,
yeah.
Creation of Superman. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of high-profile creators are from Ohio, and more so Central Ohio, right? Like, we have CXC. That's huge. Also, Space Convention. You can give a little shout-out to Space, right? That's, I think, going on. I don't even know. For 30 years? I have no idea.
Oh, it's been going on
longer than that, at least, maybe.
Yeah, I think longer than that. But there, real quick, for those that are interested right there, Space, their Facebook page. It's come and gone for this year, but I know Bob Corby is going to be working on making it bigger, better, and more awesome this next year coming up in 2025. But
yeah,
have you tabled at Space quite frequently?
I've never tabled before, so
okay. That's
something I got to figure out.
So you've never tabled anywhere, is that what you're saying? Oh,
no. So that's why I'm very thankful for C3 in Sydney. C stands for, right? Like, that's what this anthology is called. I was thinking about it, and to me, it's like C stands for chance. Like, you know, just thanks for the chance.
Okay.
Like, that's all something, you know, people like me are looking for is just a little chance, and let's see what happens.
Okay. Do you have any conventions or shows circled on your calendar, you know, going into the fall months here?
You mean as far as just what I want to go to?
Yeah, or maybe a goal to table there.
I don't think I'd be. See, the problem is I need like some stuff, right?
Okay.
For a table, you know.
Yeah, and you got to build up that reserve.
Yeah, exactly. So, not this year. I don't know. Maybe Space next year. Who knows? Maybe by then I could be ready. I'm not sure, but I'm slowly trying.
Okay.
Which is something I couldn't say before in my younger life. I didn't try.
Okay.
So if I gave any advice to anybody, just try and see what happens, right?
Hey, that is solid advice that many, many people have given to future creators here on this show, or on my show, I should say, the PVD cast. But yeah, I mean, just try. Otherwise, you're going to be that old guy at the, or that old lady at the retirement home, you know,
right. Like
Grandpa Simpson, counting regrets.
Right. And shaking your fist angrily at something.
The sky sometimes.
Right, the sky, exactly. Yep.
All right. Got two more questions for you. But before we get to them, Tony, I'm going to run it down one more time. All right. What's on tap for the next couple of days, which is you need to, if you haven't done so, you need to donate to the project. Again, it is C stands for anthology. We are sitting at that $950 mark. Everybody that has contributed is going to get $10 for the page rate. We want to get up to that 1,550 level where everybody will get $15. In fact, I mean, if we do that, then we're so close to getting to the $20 page rate, which is anything above 1,550. Again, all the funds go back to the local artists for tabling fees, for workshops, for supplies, for you name it, they probably need it. And when I say they, I mean the whole collective of these fine folks who have spent their time chatting with me about this project. Again, you need to know where to go. It's right down here, tinyurl.com/C stands for. And donate, folks, because Monday's when things close down, Monday evening. So don't wait. Jump on over. I mean, watch this. Keep finishing this, okay? Don't leave here, okay? We need the clicks and the algorithm and whatnot. So, but as soon as we're done here, go over and donate, if you will, please. Everybody will appreciate it. And Tony, did I miss anything on that?
I don't think so. That was pretty good.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, last two questions, Tony. First of all, do you have any future projects that you'd like to talk about that maybe I overlooked?
There's nothing concrete. I shouldn't really say. It's more like just things in my head rattling around, so I shouldn't say no.
Okay. All right. Well, then where can folks find you on the internet? So if they want to find out what you're working on or want to check out your art or contact you or whatever, where can folks find you on the internet?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. My name, Tony Ferrando, and now N-O-W. Yep, on Instagram there. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay. Cool. Well, Tony, thanks, man, for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you, too. This is pretty cool. Thank you for doing this for everybody.
Oh, you're welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say I will chat at each and every one of you later. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Fennec and Tony Ferrando, talking about their experiences with C3, talking about their submissions for the C3 anthology, their new projects that they have going on, and a whole lot more. So definitely keep tabs on these two. Go over to Instagram and follow them. I know that they would appreciate it. And I appreciate both of them sitting down and chatting with me. Now it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. And if you want to be old school, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show and where they can hear it. Well, first off, PVDcast.com is the easiest and best way to do so. It is where every new episode drops every Thursday. But I know that some of us already have our favorite podcasting apps or outlets. Well, the PVDcast is available there too. All you have to do is go to your search bar, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it. Not sure why. That's just the way it's always been. And you should be able to find the newest episodes. And while you are listening through one of your apps or outlets that you enjoy so much, make sure you rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. Why? I don't know. How? I don't know. But just leave me a simple 5-star rating and maybe a quick sentence or two about how much you enjoyed the show. And also, by the way, don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. If you want even an easier way to listen to the PVDcast, well, I got one for you. Go over to the Facebook page, @PVDcast. On Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast, making it very easy for you to check out the episodes. So there you have it, three ways that you can hear the PVDcast through PVDcast.com, your favorite app or outlet, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. The following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.